But in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, it says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that it hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith." And so this verse is telling us that there is this great cloud of witnesses in heaven watching you and me as we run the race of faith, as we run the race of life. And like an Olympic runner, we're to strip ourselves of everything that would hinder. You won't find a runner running in, you know, street clothes and street shoes. They won't do that. And we're running this race, and the finish line is our Savior who's standing there. Come on, keep running. Don't stumble, don't fall. Yeah, life is tough, but keep running. And it's like there's this stadium. Picture like this stadium in Minnesota where there are thousands upon thousands of people cheering on their team, hoping that they'll get that ball across that goal line. And we've got this stadium, if you will, in heaven, this great cloud of witnesses that's cheering us on. And so in Hebrews chapter 11, we see that this great cloud of witnesses are the men and women of faith that are described in the Hebrew Scriptures, the Older Testament, that have already completed the race. And some of us have family and friends that are already sitting in that stadium cheering us on as well. So on the very first Sunday of this series, we invited from as old, almost as old as time can get, we invited Cain. And Cain himself was here. And he told us a sad story of how he killed his brother Abel. And then the next week, we had Enoch. And Enoch told his story of how he walked with God and never experienced physical death because he trusted God completely. And every person in Hebrews 11 trusts God completely. That's why they're in this great cloud of witnesses cheering you and me on. And last week, we had Noah. And Noah came, and Noah told us how he trusted God completely and why he's in that great cloud of witnesses. And we're expecting someone to come today. Next week, and you're welcome to come back next week, of course. Next week, it's going to be an interesting Sunday because the gentleman who's coming today, if he shows up, his wife is going to be here next week. And now I know what some of you have been here over the weeks. You think that all of these people look alike to you. Well, that's a pretty prejudicial comment. But let me tell you that when his wife is here next week. Now, I need to just be honest with you. She's not the most attractive woman. She's not the most attractive woman, but she does have good legs. I can tell you that. Well, I shouldn't know that, but I do for some reason. But this could be my last Sunday here, by the way. Don't get my hopes up if you don't mean it. But no. I'm excited that she's going to be here. It's going to be a Sunday. It will be unforgettable. Let me just put it that way. But thank heavens we're not on TV. Well, we are on Facebook Live, but Well, before we expect this gentleman to show up, let me read to you from Hebrews 11, starting in verse 8, so you'll get to know who's coming, all right, if he shows up. Hebrews 11, verse 8. "By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out, as I was telling the children, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God." Abraham, are you here already? The silence isn't really good for the radio either, I hate to tell you. I know what some of you are thinking. He looks a lot like Enoch to me. He looks a lot like Cain. Well, he looks a lot like Noah, except without the life jacket. But you won't say that next week when you see Abraham's wife. Why? I grew up in a pagan place. Perhaps you've heard of it. Ur of the Chaldees. You might know the Chaldean country today as Iraq. My father decided to move. My father decided to move. This is why you have rehearsals. My father decided to move our family to the land of Canaan. We never got that far. We settled in the city of Haran, also in the land you call Iraq. And that's where my father died. I was my father's heir, being the firstborn son. But we had a problem. I was married to a beautiful woman. What was your pastor saying about her? She was, you'll find this hard to believe, especially next week. I was married to a beautiful woman. But we were unable to have children. This broke our hearts. We never dreamed we would hear the pitter-patter of children in our tents. I was the guardian of my brother's son, Lot. And it looked like everything I had was going to go to him after I was gone. Or maybe my servant, Eleazar. Well, I'm getting ahead of myself. You see, I was quite happy in the town of Haran. But one day, my settled life would change drastically. One day, as I was caring for business, I heard a voice I had never heard before. Avram, Avram, pack your bags. You are moving from this place. Now you might be wondering, why was I called Avram? Or you say Abram. You don't know my language. Avram. Well, Avram was my name. And it meant father. Ironic, isn't it? We thought we'd never have children. That I would never be a father. Well, isn't your name Abraham? Well, be patient. I'll get to that. Now remember, I was born in a pagan country. I had never heard this voice before. I soon learned that this was the voice not of a God, but of the God, the one and only creator of the universe. And he told me to move. But he didn't tell me any specifics. He just said, I'll show you the land I'm going to give you. Now try and explain that to your wife. Can you picture that encounter? She was in the kitchen. I think she was at the microwave. And I said, Sarai? Yeah, she had a name change too, those of you who are thinking ahead. But Sarai, I was just speaking with the Lord. She said, the Lord? Who's that? Well, I'm not exactly sure. It's the first time he ever spoke to me. But he seems very powerful. And I think we should listen to him. Well, Abe, she always called me Abe. Well, Abe, what does he want us to do? He wants us to move. Where? I don't know. Abram, you're kidding me, right? This God, whom you've never heard of before, wants you to move. We don't know where, but you expect me to pack everything up and leave our beautiful home here in Haran and live in a tent for the rest of my life? I think you've summed it up pretty well, dear. That's what we're going to do. Oh, by the way, darling, he also told me that he would make us into a great nation. He's going to bless me. He's going to make me a blessing, and through me, all families of the earth will be blessed. Isn't that cool? Avram, I think you've been nipping the moonshine again. Well, I was 75 years old when we started this journey of faith. When you follow God, are you listening to me? When you follow God, even though you don't know all the details, you can most certainly call that a journey of faith. When you follow God, even though you don't know all the details, you can call that a journey of faith. So in addition to my wife, I took my nephew Lot and all our possessions. For about 25 years, we traveled through the land of Canaan, living in tents, never settling down, and experiencing some challenges as well as the blessings of this God whom I got to know more and more with every step in that desert land I traveled. Now, there's so much more of this story that I could tell, but I don't want to take too much of your time. I hear you got to get home and get ready for some event tonight on something you call television, which I have no idea what that is anyway. But I believe my story is written in the first book of your Bible, Genesis. And there you can read about my adventures. I did make a few mistakes, by the way, on the way. I did make a few mistakes that got my wife really upset. But I understand she's going to be here next week, and she's going to tell the story. I believe she's going to have a lot more to say than I do, you know, women. But please don't tell her I said that. Please don't. I won't be here next week, so please don't tell Sarah I said that. So for now, let me skip ahead to the name change. Remember, I was called Avram, meaning father. But one day this God, with whom I now had a wonderful relationship with, he changed my name. He came to me in a vision. I know, hard to believe, but it's true. He said he would protect me. He told me he would reward me greatly. He told me to look up to the sky. It was a clear night. There was a blanket of stars on that black night. And he told me to count the stars. Now, of course, I couldn't count the stars. Who can count all the stars? The Lord told me that my descendants would be like those stars, too innumerable to count. Now, I know this is beyond rationality, but I believed God. I don't know how I got to that point, but I believed God. I trusted him completely. Now, don't get me wrong. As I mentioned, Sarai and I made a few missteps along the way. We tried to help God out with this promise, and believe me, when you try and help God out, it usually backfires. But I'll let Sarah explain more of that when she's here next week. So you fast forward ahead, and I'm 99 years old, still in pretty good shape. 99 years old. And I heard God's voice to me again. He revealed himself to me as El Shaddai. El Shaddai, God Almighty. He instructed me to walk in his ways. He instructed me to live a blameless life. And he told me that I would be the father of many nations. Let me quote him directly, if I might. I want to make sure you hear this like I heard it. No longer shall your name be called Avram, but your name shall be Avraham, Abraham. For I have made you the father of a multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make you into nations, and kings shall come from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your offspring after you. And I will give you and I will give to you and to your offspring after you the land of your sojournings, all the land of Canaan, Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. Wow, that's what he said to me. Verbatim. He promised I would have a son with Sarah. Now, by the way, that was her new name. She was Sarai, meaning princess, but she would be known henceforth as Sarah, which also means princess. Go figure. You know, I guess God wanted to have her the pain that I had to have in changing her driver's license too. Thank you, some of you who get anachronisms. Appreciate that. Now back to this promised son. How could this be? After all, I was almost 100 years old. Sarah, well, I know how women get sensitive about their age. I know she's coming next week, so I don't want to get in more trouble than I'm probably already getting. But Sarah was getting up there too. Again, you'll be hearing from her soon. But don't worry, because I'm not giving her the last word. I will be back 2 weeks from today with my son Isaac and my grandson Jacob. So when your pastor told me Sarah was coming to speak, I said, I want to come back because I'm not letting her have the last word. So you will see this lovely face again. After you see the face next week, you will see this lovely face again 2 weeks from today when I come back with Isaac and Jacob. And boy, that will be a challenge for the three of us to be up here at the same time. Right now, I'd like to humbly share with you why I am a member of the great cloud of witnesses. The writer of Hebrews, whoever he or she was, way after my time, the writer of Hebrews reminds me one of the reasons I'm cheering you on is because I trusted God completely. I trusted God completely. As a matter of fact, all of us cloud members who are in the grandstands, that's true of all of us. We all trust God completely. It wasn't easy sometimes. There were challenges sometimes. We didn't always get it right. But we trusted God completely. Remember, it started when God told me to move. And I obeyed him, even though I had no idea where I was going. I trusted God, and even though he promised me this great land, this great territory, I lived in tents the rest of my life. God had promised me real estate wherever I went, but I never saw that promise fulfilled in my lifetime. Neither did my son, neither did my grandson, neither did till generations later, as you'll hear from some of them as your time goes on. I lived as a stranger in the land that was promised to me. The fulfillment would come centuries later to my descendants, who, by the way, became as numerous as the stars of the sky. Although I never saw the promise fulfilled, my faith enabled me to look forward to something that was unseen, a city built by God himself. When I tried to help God out, as you'll hear from my wife next week, when I tried to help God out, things didn't work out that well. When, for now, I'll tell you, we tried to have a child in a way that was not part of God's plan, and things went south really fast. She'll tell you more. But when I followed his plan, things went well. May I cheer you on from my place in the grandstands as you're running the race? May I cheer you on from my place in that great cloud of witnesses as you're running the race? Trust God completely. Trust God completely. That's my word to you. Trust God completely. Three times in your New Testament, there's a quote from Genesis. Let me share it with you. This one comes from the book of James, the brother of Jesus. James quotes from Genesis. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. And he was called a friend of God. I think as I was coming in the back, I heard some of you singing, "I am a friend of God." I was the first person called a friend of God. Why? Because I was so wonderful? Well, not true. None of us are that wonderful to be called a friend of God. I was a friend of God because I trusted Him completely. Do you want to be a friend of God? Do you want to live according to His righteous standards? When He tells you to move, even though you don't know for sure what His plan is, go where He leads you. Go where He leads you. Let God work His way. Don't try to help God out. He doesn't need your help. You'll learn more about what I'm saying next week when Sarah and I tried to help God out and we almost messed everything up. Don't try and help God out. God doesn't need your help. God doesn't need your help. His plan will always be better than your plan. His plan will always be better than my plan. And when you trust Him, when you go where He leads, when you let God work His way, you will enjoy the gift of His grace. You will be a friend of God. You will be like I was. You will be both a blessing and you will be blessed. You will be blessed and you will be a blessing. Amen? Well, Abraham, thank you. Oh, please. He'll be back. He'll be back. He'll be back. He'll be back. How did that get clicked past so fast? So, what did Abraham teach us? What did Abraham teach us? As a member of the great cloud of witnesses, my friends, like Cain told you Abel would tell you, like Enoch, like Noah, like you'll hear from the lovely Sarah next week, and Isaac and Jacob and Moses and Joseph and Joshua and Rahab from Jericho and others you'll be hearing from in the next week. By the way, Rachel is a lovely woman too. As you'll be hearing in the weeks ahead, the great cloud of witness, every single one of them will tell you, brothers and sisters, friends, trust God completely. Trust God completely. You need to trust God completely. He'll never let you down. Never let you down. Abraham looked forward to a city that's made by God. That city was the same city that Jesus talked about. That city set on a hill. The city of the kingdom of God. Trusting God completely means resting in what our Savior, our Messiah, the God of Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, through the promised deliverer, trusting Him, having that relationship with Him by saying, yes, Lord, I believe that Your Son died for my sins. I believe that He rose from the grave, and I will follow You all the days of my life. Trust God completely. Trust God completely. And then obey Him. That's not sometimes the easiest thing to do. I want you to move from where you've had a comfortable life and spend the rest of your life in the desert. When you follow God's plan, when you obey Him and follow His plan, not your own plans, the blessings just come and come. And that's what a blessing is. It's a gift of grace. It's receiving His gift of grace. Have you received the gift of God's grace? Have you heard Him call you to follow Him? I would love to talk with you about that. You can either talk with me after the service or set up a time anytime. But the most beautiful gift of grace is that wonderful relationship that we have through Christ, where we say, yes, Lord, I will follow You. Yes, Lord, I believe that You have given me a purpose in life, a plan in life, and that the love of God, the love of Christ, who died for my sins, who rose from the grave, that I will trust You and follow You all the days of my life. Let's pray. Let's pray.